Shai is a full-time faculty member at Stern College teaching Halakha and Machshava. He is also the Rav and Rosh Beit Midrash at Young Israel of Wainier. He is additionally the, I'm always out of breath when I'm talking up here, he takes his talents as well to all parts of Klal Yisrael and is the Rav of Yafad as well as in Camp Simcha and and his smicha comes from his father at Yeshiva University as well as the Usher Weiss. And it is a tremendous privilege for us to hear from him this evening. Shana Bet, you have an additional privilege to hear from him at lunch on Wednesday. So please sign up if you're interested in doing that. I highly recommend it. Thank you so much.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I normally stand when I speak, but I'm not sure what this is, so I'm not going to do that. It's a great pleasure to be here, and I heard somebody mention just as I was coming in, they were nervous that they thought it was Shoshi Elman on their back. Shoshi Elman is my shadchan. So if you hang out with her enough, you might end up with a guy like me. Just be careful. Just be careful. So it's really a pleasure to be here, and my wife is a graduate of Mechlala, and I came here to really learn what she learned while she was here, and Baruch Hashem, it's really beautiful to see so many familiar faces, from some of you from Woodmere, some of you from Camp Simcha Days, others I don't know from where, but it's a pleasure to be together, and certainly to learn Torah together is always a great privilege. So the topic that I was given, that I was asked to speak about this evening, is about preparing for a geula. I don't know who came up with this topic, but I was told that they asked many of the speakers over the last couple of weeks to address this issue, and nobody wanted to. I was so excited when somebody told me that this is the suggested topic, because what more can a Jew want to talk about than geula? This is what we talk about all the time. This is what we daven for more prominently than anything else. So let's get into a conversation. We don't have that much time, but we're going to try to just get into some of the very important points about thinking and considering the possibility of a geula and what would it mean for us. The pasuk says in Parashas Bechukosai, and in Parashas Bechukosai, the Torah is talking about the Tochacha, and we have many, many terrible prophecies about what is going to befall the Jewish people and the harrowing and painful details of how it's going to unfold. And there in the midst of that whole description, the Torah says, Vishavarti as Gaon Uschem. Vishavarti as Gaon Uschem, which means I will ravage, I will destroy Gaon Uschem. What exactly is Gaon Uschem? Your pride and your glory. Rashi on Chumash suggests, what exactly does it mean, Vishavarti as Gaon Uschem? Rashi says, Ze Beis HaMikdash. That this is a forecast that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So it was already known from the outset that there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy it. There's a well-known Gemara Maseches Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Bisha Shemachnisim Adam Ledin. At some point in all of our existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us into a very uncomfortable conversation. And we're all going to have to answer certain questions. So what are those questions going to be? So the Gemara outlines what the questions are. Now, I've thought about this Gemara often, and I consider the possibility of, imagine if you were writing the questions for a person at the end of their life. I never would have come up with this list. Now, it's a good thing I'm not the Ribono Shel Olam. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very good reason why he has this list of questions. But I find them fascinating. So the Gemara says, question number one is not what we would have thought. Question number one is, Nasata v'nasata be'amuna. Did you deal with people honestly? Were you honest in your interactions with other people? Did you conduct and operate your business with integrity? Question number one, la'achar me'eva esrim shana. Question number two, says the Gemara, kavata itim la'Torah. Did you make Torah a priority in your life? Which is something that you've all chosen to do by being here for the year. You've made Torah a priority in your life. And you need to make sure that Torah remains a priority in your life, even after you're no longer here. While you're in this cocoon, it's very easy to make Torah the priority and the mainstay of your life. But the challenge is, are we able to take that forward and make sure that Torah is always the foundational principle of every decision we make in our lives? That's question number two. Question number three, and you'll notice how it's phrased, Asakta b'piri avirivya. It doesn't say, did you have children? It's not in our hands to have children or not. I date, I try to get married, I don't find someone suitable. What should I do? I get married, I try to have children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bless me with children. What should I do? It's not my fault. I can't be held accountable for having children or not. And that's why the question is, Asakta b'piri v'rivya. Did you try your best to bring children into the world? Means, did you go on a date? Did you meet with Shoshi Elman? Did you try to get married? And once you got married, did you try to bring children into the world? That's what it means, Asakta b'piri v'rivya. Whether in the end you were successful is a different story, and you're not going to be held accountable if it's not your fault. But Asakta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know, did we try our best to bring about the reality? And question number four is, Sipisa liYeshua. Sipisa liYeshua means, did you actually look forward to a life of Geula? And you say to yourself, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want a life of Geula? I think I know a lot of people who would be extremely uncomfortable if Mashiach came tomorrow and told them to leave their homes behind and everything they've accumulated in the United States or wherever they live, drop it all and move to Eretz Yisrael because Mashiach has come. I'm sorry to say, I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that reality. And it's something we need to talk about. That cannot make us uncomfortable. Achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo is a reality that Jews have been talking about for thousands of years. It's what our ancestors have been dreaming about, the coming of Mashiach. What's going to happen when Mashiach actually comes? Are we prepared to leave everything aside and say, this is the most important thing to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has finally come back to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm prepared to answer that call. If you think that it's so easy to make that choice, to make that decision, look no further than the Jewish people as they came out of Mitzrayim. What happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim? You would think, after the terrible oppression, hundreds of years, the Jewish people are being destroyed by the Egyptians. Finally, they see Yad Chazaka v'Zrua Netuya, the unbelievable Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for all of them. And then, Hashem says it's time to go free. What does the Pasuk say? V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. V'chamushim simply translated means they left Mitzrayim with arms. They left well-equipped, well-suited to fight against the Egyptians if they needed to. But Rashi there says, V'chamushim, the Medrash tells us, means? Anybody knows? Only a chomesh. Right? It's important that we learn the parsha every week with Rashi, that we can have an understanding of the most basic of all the Midrashim that every good Jew needs to know. So Rashi there says, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael means that they left Mitzrayim only a chomesh of the Jewish people. Only one-fifth of the Jewish people believed in the possibility of Geula. Four-fifths of the Jewish people stayed behind. They could not connect to the reality of what a Geula was going to mean. How sad is that? But who says it's not going to be the same in our generation? V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. We hope it won't be the case. But we need to all prepare ourselves for that possibility and for that reality. We say it every day in the Ani Imamins. V'vias HaMashiach, we believe that Mashiach is going to come. However, what is less well known is a comment of the Rambam. And the Rambam is who we turn to for all areas of halacha. How do we daven? How do we keep Shabbos? How do we keep kashrus? How do we do everything? The Rambam is the guiding light for all of our lives. Well, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim is probably parts of the Rambam that are maybe less learned in our communities. But the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim actually discusses what the coming of Mashiach is going to be like. What's going to happen? Says the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Melachim. Listen carefully to his words. Kol mi she'eino ma'amin bo. Whoever does not believe in the Melach HaMashiach. Or, says the Rambam, mi she'eino mechake lebiyoso. The Rambam puts both of these people into the same category. Number one is the person who doesn't believe in Mashiach. So you'll say, what do you mean? We all believe in Mashiach. Of course. He's not talking to me. Then says the Rambam, end of the sentence is, mi she'eino mechaka lebiyoso. Someone who does not anticipate and yearn and pine for the coming of Mashiach, says the Rambam, lo b'shar hanavim hu kofer, you are not only rejecting and denying all of the Nevi'im, Ela B'Torah V'Moshe Rabbeinu. You are rejecting the Torah itself and Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehare HaTorah Ha'idu Alav. How many times has the Torah described what we're supposed to look forward to? How many times does Moshe Rabbeinu say we need to come back to Eretz Yisrael? This is the aspiration of every good Jew, that we're going to live for the coming of Mashiach. Says the Rambam, not only if you're a person who doesn't believe, but if you are someone who's eino mechake lebiyaso, you don't excitedly anticipate the coming of Mashiach, you're a kofer b'Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a very, very strong statement. Something we don't find very often in the Rambam. But it shows us how central the coming of Mashiach and the reality of Mashiach and Geula needs to be for all of us. So there's a really beautiful medrash where the medrash says the following. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaTzadikim. And I really feel in some way this is addressing our generation. Because the medrash says there is going to come a time when the Jewish people are going to have so many, a plethora of shiurim. We're going to have so much Torah learning. I don't think in the history of the Jewish people there's been so much opportunity to learn Torah as we have today. Forgetting about all of the online venues that we have and all of the opportunities for recorded shiurim, but even in person. Do you think they ever had seminaries in the days of Chazal? This didn't exist, this reality. Shiurim at nights in every community, in every shul. Men and women, boys and girls coming to learn at nights. Who ever heard of such a thing? This is Achshar Dara. This is a blessed generation that we live in. Ashreinu, Matov Chalkeinu, how lucky we are to live at this time in history. But listen to what the Medrash says, and I think it's addressing our generation. Says the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaTzadikim, Lo yafe asisem shechivavtem l'torasi, v'lo chivavtem l'malchusi. I appreciate the fact that so many people want to learn Torah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's disproportionate. The amount of people that have such a chibas haTorah versus the people that have a desire, limalchusi, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back and bring his malchus to Eretz Yisrael once again, to Yerushalayim. That's what the life of a good Jew needs to be about. Not only about limud haTorah, which of course is pivotal to understanding what a life of a Jew needs to be, but beyond that, we need to also be mechavev l'malchusa, to have an understanding that we look forward to the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come back. In fact, the Medrash records a gripping conversation between Yitzchak Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can say a whole lot of Torah of why it is that Yitzchak Avinu is negotiating about this with the Ribbono Shel Olam, not for now, but the Medrash writes the following. When the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened and Klal Yisrael went into Galus, Yitzchak Avinu stood up. Now again, why was it him and not Avram? Yaakov, I don't know. But the Medrash says that Yitzchak Avinu stood up and he affronted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was arguing with him. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shema Ein Chazara Lebanim, is this it? Now that they're going to be exiled, now that they're going to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, is that it? We're never going to come back? Ein Chazara Lebanim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tomar Kach. Don't think that way. Of course they're going to come back. Yesh Dor Shehu Mitzapel Malchusi Miyad Heim Nigalim. If there will be a generation that sincerely, that enthusiastically look forward to me returning, then I will come back. Where do you know that from, says the Medrash? Because the Pasuk says, V'yesh tikva le'achariseich, v'shavu banim ligvulam. If there will be a generation of Jews who actually have hope and believe that this can be a real possibility, then v'shavu banim ligvulam. What we need to realize is that we all need to play an active role in our Geula story. And what that means is as follows. There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin tells us, it's hard to stay seated for that long when you're heated up about something. So the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin that, you know, there was a, let's ask a little Jewish history. Hillel, Tana or Amora? Oh, that's one. Hillel was a Tana or an Amora. Anybody know? Wow. Michlala, Zugos for Tanam or Amora? Tanam, thank you. Okay. Aside from the Tana Hillel, who obviously was the father of the Beis Hillel, and Shammai was the father of Beis Shammai, all of his Talmidim came afterward, there also was an Amora by the name of Hillel as well. And the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin talks about a conversation one day in the Beis Medrash. Hillel the Amora is sitting with a bunch of his Chaverim, a bunch of his friends, and he turns to them and he says, you know, I believe in Mashiach Yisrael. Ein Mashiach LeYisrael. Yeah, you heard that. What does Ein Mashiach LeYisrael mean? Seems to mean there's not going to be a Mashiach for the Jewish people. His friend, I think it's Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara says, turns to him and he says, Sharalei Mari LeHillel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive you for saying such a horrible statement. What do you mean? Don't you know the Jewish people have been looking forward to the coming of Mashiach thousands of years? How dare you say Ein Mashiach LeYisrael? What does that mean? So what exactly does it mean? How did he say Ein Mashiach LeYisrael? Rashi there explains, Hillel never said Ein Mashiach LeYisrael like the way we understand it. What do you think? Hillel doesn't know the Ani Mamas? I mean, he lived before the Rambam, but the Rambam got it from somewhere. Right? We all believe in the coming of Mashiach. You think Hillel, the Amora, who's quoted in the Gemara, didn't believe in the coming of Mashiach? Of course he did. So what does it mean, Ein Mashiach LeYisrael? Rashi says, all Hillel meant was the following. By Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything himself, b'chvodo v'atzmo. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo ashaliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything by himself. B'yad chazak of Izra Netuya, we talk about it on Pesach night. Hillel said such a beautiful sentiment. When we're going to have the ultimate Geula, I don't want any Mashiachs in the way. I want that same experience that we had by Yitzias Mitzrayim, B'yad Chazak of Izra Netuya, Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Shaliach, says Rashi, Hillel meant to say, we want to see the Hizgalos, we want to see the beautiful, unbelievable, untainted view and image of what it means to actually experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We don't want any intermediaries. And that's what Hillel davened for. Ein Mashiach LeYisrael. So you ask yourself, if that's the case, why were his friends so offended? Isn't that a beautiful sentiment? Isn't that a beautiful feeling? That he says, we want to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most pristine state, without any intermediaries? Why is that so negative? Why are his friends saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive you for saying such a thing? What's so bad? My father told me once, perhaps the reason why is because just as unacceptable as it is to say Ein Mashiach LeYisrael in the simple terms, just as unacceptable as it is to say that there will not be a Mashiach, it's equally unacceptable to believe that we will not have an active role in the coming of Mashiach. It's unacceptable to believe that a human being will not be involved in the process of Geula. That is unacceptable. And we need to realize that Mashiach is a reality in our lives, but it's something that we need to make a reality in our lives. Like the Medrash says, Yesh tikva la'achariseich, if there's a generation of Jews who actually care enough and who want this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Vishavu banim ligvulam. I see one of the Abitans in the crowd here. So your father bought me a set of Svarim. And, he bought me many sets of Svarim. But one of the sets of Svarim that he bought me, I'll make a confession here, I only read one Parsha. So he bought me five volumes from Rav Gamliel Rabinovich on Chumash. I've never looked at anything else. I looked at one Parsha, and I got a great story, and I just never opened it again. But hopefully I will. But here's the story that he quotes. I forgot which Parsha it's in. I'm only saying it in your honor. So there's an amazing story that he tells about the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi was the father, the Av L'Shalshelas Brisk. He was the father of the Brisker dynasty. And the Beis HaLevi was living in Warsaw at the time, in the 1800s. And there was a community in Brisk that very much wanted him to move, to become the Rav of their town in Brisk. So they came, they sent a small delegation to discuss with him. He was so humble, he was so timid, and he said, this is not for me, I don't take positions of leadership. This is really not something that I'm interested in. Back and forth. And they told him, what do you mean? The community wants you to come. And he says, no, but really, it's not something that I'm comfortable with. Finally, the Rosh HaKol stands up. The head of the community in Warsaw, I'm sorry, in Brisk, who came to negotiate, stands up and says to the Beis HaLevi, listen, I'm here on behalf of 10,000 Jews in our town who asked me to come on their behalf and bring you back as the Rav of the city. How can you say no to 10,000 Jews? I understand you have your own personal feelings, but how can you say no? And the Beis HaLevi said, you're right. If it were only up to me, I can say what I want. But 10,000 Jews want something, I'm going to say no? He packed up his family and he moved to Brisk, and the rest is history. When the Chafetz Chaim heard the story, he began to cry. Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm sure the Beis Halevi was a kind, compassionate, gentle, wonderful soul. But do you think he's more compassionate than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So if we stand up and petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, there are 10,000 Jews who are expecting you to come and bring a geula, you think he'd be less compassionate than the Beis HaLevi was? How can I say no to 10,000 Jews who want anything?" Said the Chafetz Chaim, "It means, unfortunately, there are not 10,000 Jews alive who actually care. Because if there were, there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say no." And I always found that to be an amazing story. It's an amazing story. But perhaps, the Chafetz Chaim said, it means we have an opportunity to dream and to understand that Geula can and should be a reality in all of our lives. Chafetz Chaim writes a letter, and the Chafetz Chaim wrote so extensively about a Geula. It's well known that the Chafetz Chaim really did not have furniture in his house. Chafetz Chaim always kept a suitcase because he believed that Mashiach was going to come imminently. I actually read a letter recently, actually right here. It was a great Talmud Chacham who just passed away, Rav Walkin. Right? Wasn't that right here? Nobody saw? Hashkevilim all over? So he was a very well-known Rosh Hashiva. And he published, his family was very close with the Chafetz Chaim, so he published a digest of letters that the Chafetz Chaim had a correspondence with different Talmidim, with different people along the way. He put it together, he compiled it. So he gave me a copy on one occasion, and I remember reading a letter in there. It's so amazing, where the Chafetz Chaim writes a letter, an open letter to his community. And he describes how there were two businessmen in Radin, and these two businessmen were involved in some kind of business venture. They were about to start some kind of business together. And they were coming to the Chafetz Chaim for advice of how exactly to make the partnership a meaningful one. So they came up with every provision you can ever imagine. What happens if I get sick and I can't come to work? What happens if you get sick and you can't come to work? How much does each of us make? What happens if your wife gets sick, if my wife gets sick? What happens if there's a flood? What happens if lightning strikes the building and the whole thing burns on fire? And what happens if we have an infestation of bugs on all the merchandise and then we can't sell it and we can't use it? Every single last little thing they put into the contract, and they come to the Chafetz Chaim to show it to him, to ask him whether it is something that is commensurate with the laws of Chosha Mishpat. Is this the way a Torah Jew is supposed to go into a business or not? And the Chafetz Chaim read and he began to cry. And he wrote this letter in response and he says, "I don't understand. How is it possible that two Jews drew up a contract and had an imagination for every single wild possibility that can ever happen to a business? And it didn't cross your minds that what's going to happen if Mashiach comes and we have to sell the business immediately? That's less probable than your wife dying, than his wife dying, than an animal infestation, than everything that can go wrong in a store, than lightning striking the building. It's less of a possibility in your mind that Mashiach is going to come. How can that be? How is that possible?" So the Chafetz Chaim has an amazing letter where he writes, "We're all very careful, midvar sheker tirchak. We really try to live lives of erlichkeit, of honesty. We know that we should be true to our word. People should be able to depend on us, to rely on us. Like the pasuk says, the Gemara learns in Maseches Baba Basra, she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla v'lo yidabru kazav. The Jewish people don't say falsehoods. We're supposed to be truthful and upstanding. Elokim asa sa'adam yasher. Kadosh Baruch Hu made us straight and honest people. It's the way it's supposed to be." So says the Chafetz Chaim, "We try to say the truth all the time." Then the Chafetz Chaim says, "Imagine if you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows everything that we're thinking as well. You can't pull a fast one on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So even if maybe you're bending the truth every so often when you deal with other people, you think you can get away with it, nobody would lie to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who would do that? Everybody knows you're going to get caught in a lie. Like the Gemara says, Milsa da avida l'gluye lo mishakri inchi. In general, in business, we have an understanding that if something is going to become well known, I'm not going to lie about it because I can be caught in a lie. And what am I going to do then if someone finds out that I lied? So that's the assumption, but certainly when we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Who would dare to lie to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Well, says the Chafetz Chaim, Al Kein. I'm going to read you his words. Yifla Eifal Miyod. Chafetz Chaim says, I always wondered. Eich Anu Omrim Gimel Pa'amim B'chol Yom Aleinu L'Shabeach. How do we say three times a day the Tefillah of Aleinu L'Shabeach? And in the second paragraph he says, we say an outright lie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the lie? Al-Kein Nekabel Lecha Hashem Elokeinu. God, there's one thing in the world that I want. Everything else is perfect. My life is going really well. Only one thing in the world that I'm missing. What is that? What do I look forward to? Liros Mehira B'Seferos Uzecha. You know, I go to sleep at night, and actually I can't sleep at night because Lahavir Gilulim Min Ha'aretz, you know? I look around the skyline of Yerushalayim and I see that there are churches all over. I see that there are mosques. It bothers me. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here in Yerushalayim in the fullest of senses? How can that be? It bothers me. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you dare lie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, not once, not twice, three times a day? You look the Ribbono Shel Olam in the eye and you say, Al-Kein Nekaveh Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, I look forward to this day. And I yearn for it, and this is what I need in life. We have to believe it. We have to really want it. And said the Chafetz Chaim, a Jew needs to live that way. So I ask many high school kids in my community, when I have the opportunity, I like to ask them things that will help me when I'm speaking. So I've asked them, you know, we daven for Mashiach. Es tzemach David avdecha v'l Yerushalayim ircha. V'havayeno letzion ircha barina uva letzion goel. We talk so much through the davening that we want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So tell me, why do we want a geula? I ask kids all the time, why do we want a geula? You ever wonder? Every time something bad happens in the world, Rachmana Litzlan last week, two horrible piguas here in Yerushalayim. Terrible. What is the knee-jerk reaction? What is the response of most Jews when they see such a thing? We need Mashiach. Oh, we need Mashiach. Right? Somebody's diagnosed with cancer. Oh, we need Mashiach. Somebody loses a job and they don't have a parnasa and they have six children at home who don't have food to eat. We need Mashiach. I ask you, I don't know, but I'm wondering. When Mashiach comes, anybody here planning on going to medical school? Yeah? So let me ask you, why are you going to medical school? Because you want to help people, right? Because you're a kind-hearted soul. Can there be a more noble profession than that? Other than the Rabbanus. Yes. So you want to go to med school. So when somebody's diagnosed with cancer and we say, we need Mashiach, so what's going to happen? So what's going to happen? Mashiach's going to come. So your medical degree is probably 8-9 years out, right? Is that what we're looking at? So do you believe in the next 8 or 9 years Mashiach is still not going to come? No. So if Mashiach is going to come, then what's going to happen? It's a good question, right? Anybody else want to take it? So why do we say when someone gets sick, we need Mashiach, and what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? No one's going to get sick anymore? What are all the doctors in the world going to do? I'm not sure. It could be the answer is no one's going to get sick. I don't know. Someone loses a parnasa. We need Mashiach. What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Everyone's going to have a parnasa? No one's going to be poor anymore? There's not going to be anyone collecting at the kotel for hachnasas kala? No? Everything's going to be fine? Everyone's going to have all the money in the world that they need? Money's going to be falling from trees? Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say that anywhere. I have a hard time believing it. So what do we mean when we say we need Mashiach? Is nobody going to die once Mashiach comes? So it's a discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam is of the opinion nothing is going to change when Mashiach comes. Ela shibud malchias bilvad. Life is going to go on. Olam kiminhagan oig. No money is going to be falling from trees. Okay, a whole discussion in the Rishonim, what's it going to be, what it's not going to be. However, the Dubna Magid gives the following mashal to try to explain to us, so why do we need the coming of Mashiach? Explains to Dubna Magid, he writes, imagine you have a child for the first time in his life who's invited to a wedding. And he is so excited. You ever been to a wedding with a small child? They don't know where to put themselves. They don't know what to look at first. We take it for granted. We've been to so many weddings. You don't even look anymore. You don't even pay attention. But to them, this is like the most beautiful thing they've ever seen. They've never seen an orchestra with so many pieces in the band. And they've never seen all of this beautiful setup and this kind of jewelry and this gown and all of these flowers and the arrangements. It's amazing. It's amazing. So the kid walks in, doesn't know what's going on, sees a whole room full of people, men on one side, women on the other, and he sees there's a long aisle down the middle with two people standing in the end under a canopy. So he walks straight down the aisle, goes, he taps the young man on the shoulder, and he says, you know, I'm just curious, everybody else is sitting down and you're standing here. Why? He says, well, I am the chassid. This kid says, I don't even know what that means, so maybe you can explain it to me. And the kid says, the truth is, I noticed everyone looks like they're pretty happy to be here, but you look much happier than everybody else. Like, people are on their phones, people are distracted, they're talking, they're doing other things. You just look so excited. Why are you so excited? He says, because I'm the chassid. So what does that mean? So tell me, what does it mean that you're the chassid? He says, well, how can I not be excited? Look at this tuxedo that I'm wearing. I've never worn one in my life. I didn't wear one to my wedding, but imagine. And this pair of shoes is so expensive. It's amazing. The food we have here, oh, like, I can't wait to eat it. Look at the symphony orchestra. I love music. Like, look at this. Look what we put together. And the singer. I got the singer of my dreams for my wedding. The kid says, okay, that's interesting. Enjoy it. There happens to be a young woman standing right next to this young man, and he taps her on the shoulder. He says, you know, you look so much happier than every other woman in this room. I'm curious why. She says, because I'm the kala. Well, I've never been to a wedding. I really don't know what it means to be a kala. Tell me, why is a kala happy? Why is a kala happy? You know, I've been here since 3 o'clock in the morning getting my makeup done. You know how many weeks I worked on this gown for all the fittings back and forth, and I picked out every single little part of it. I wanted it to be exactly to my liking. And this jewelry, I feel like a princess. I got my makeup done, my hair done, my jewelry. It feels amazing. Says the Dibna Magid, how long do you think this marriage is going to last? If all the chassan and kala can focus on, and all they can say why they're so excited and why they're so happy is because of your jewelry and your tuxedo and the food and the band and the music and everything else. If that's the only thing that comes to mind when you explain why it is that you're so happy, ach and vei to such a marriage. How long do you think that marriage is going to last if at the moment of their deepest celebration, that's where their focus is? Says the Dubna Magid, you ask somebody, why do we look forward to the coming of Mashiach? Well, some people say because money's going to be falling from trees, we're not going to have to work anymore. And some people say we're not going to have anyone who's sick anymore. And all kinds of things people imagine in their minds of what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Maybe all of that is true. But the reason why we want Mashiach is because, like the Navi says, Sos asiz b'Hashem, tagel nafshi b'elokai. I want to have the opportunity to finally be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's an experience that unfortunately I don't have now. We live in a world of Hester Panim. We live in a world where we don't have the opportunity to fully engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we would like to. So what we look forward to in the days of the coming of Mashiach is to be in that relationship, to be united. Is it true that a wedding without a band and a wedding without a gown and a wedding without makeup and jewelry is probably not going to be the same ambiance? Of course. When was the last time you were at such a wedding? It doesn't exist. But that's not the essence of what the night is all about. That's not where our focus needs to be. Those are all ancillary issues that come along with the wedding celebration. But they're all a side part. It's not the main focus. And says the Navi, everything else that you imagine about Mashiach, maybe it will be, maybe it won't be, but all of that is a sidebar. The most important focus needs to be Sos asiz b'Hashem, tagel nafshi b'elokai, that this is what we look forward to, this is what we need to come back to that experience of being reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I see we're almost out of time, and I don't know about you, but it's boiling hot in here. Is it always? Or I'm just getting more heated up than usual? There's something interesting when you look at Geulas Mitzrayim, you'll notice that the way the Torah describes the Geula is b'chipazon. Everything had to be expeditiously. Everything had to be quickly. They had to run out. They couldn't make the bread. It turns into matzah. You've been in Mitzrayim for a few hundred years. You're free. The Mitzrayim have been punished. Everything's fine. You can't take an extra 10 minutes to let the bread rise and eat like a mensch. What's the focus on chipazon? And the Maharal points out, it's not only there. If you notice in the story of Purim, it's the same theme over and over again. When everything starts to turn, and when it becomes clear that the Geula is on its way, all of a sudden it's Maharu, quickly do this, quickly do that. Haman is scurrying around trying to get everything done as quickly as he can. Why? Why the rush? The Jewish people have suffered long enough. It's okay. We'll wait an extra 5 minutes. Everything's under control. Why is it this chipazon? Why is everything done so quickly? What's the urgency? And the answer is, the Maharal explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need time to make things unfold. If I go to someone and I say, I'd like to build a new house, I talk to a contractor. So he gives me a price, starts making the drawings, and I say, what's your projection? How long is this going to take? So they'll tell me it will be 6 months, 2 years, 3 years. Of course, it's always longer than that. The prediction is never correct. But we never know how long things are going to take. It takes us time. We're only human beings. Things take time to develop. Says the Maharal, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't need time to make things happen. When the Ribono Shel Olam decides it's time for a Geula, then it's time for a Geula. And it will happen. In fact, in Parshas Miketz, we're going to read it in a few weeks, Vayihi Miketz Nasayim Yamim. What's the story there? Vayihi Miketz Nasayim Yamim, Uparo Cholem, and Paro has a dream. And at the time, Yosef is in the pit, and then he gets taken out to interpret the dreams, and he becomes the viceroy of Mitzrayim. Beautiful story, amazing, very inspiring. What does it mean, Vayihi Miketz, says the Medrash? Ketz Sam Lachoshech. Vayihi Miketz means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided Yosef has lived with enough darkness in his life. It's over. It's time to end it. I've decided, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that day is over. And it's time for a Geula. How does it happen? Well, the next minute, Paro has a dream, they take Yosef out, and the whole story unfolds. It's over from 1 second to the next. It doesn't need time to play out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make that happen. So we have a pasuk in Sefer Malachi. And think about this for yourselves as well. I'm sure there are people in this room who have gone through personal galus, aside from the galus of the Jewish people. Maybe you had a family member who was very sick or is very sick. Maybe somebody who passed away. Maybe somebody in your family lost a parnasa. Maybe there's no shalom bayis between your parents. Maybe you have somebody in your family that just is very hard to get along with. Maybe someone's abusive. People have their own struggles. And you look and you ask yourself, will this misery ever end? Is it possible to ever have this corrected? Be assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need time to make miracles happen. And we've all seen it. Miracles can happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make them happen when He chooses to do so. Says the Navi Malachi, Hineni Shaleach Malachi, he's forecasting what's going to happen in the times of the coming of Mashiach, and he says, I'm going to send the messenger, Ufana Derech Lefana, and he's going to clear out a space for me, to let everybody know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming. Upis Om Yavo El Heichalo, and suddenly, abruptly, unexpectedly, he's going to come and appear in his Heichal. Asher Atem Mevakshim. Says the Medrash, what does that mean, Pis Om Yavo El Heichalo? The Medrash says, the Jewish people of that generation of the coming of Mashiach are going to say, we ask ourselves, is it possible that we can actually experience a Geula? When we have the threat of Iran, when we have millions of Arabs who live around us who hate us more than they love their own children, Is it possible, with everything going on in the world, with all of the politics that is so upside down and the economic downturn and everything that we're experiencing as people, as humanity, and the profanity that we see on the streets and the terrible, horrific anti-Semitism that's going on in America now, do you believe that we can actually have a Geula? How is it possible? It's never going to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Pis'om yavo ha'adon al heichalo. It will happen unexpectedly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need time to straighten everything out. If we were to get involved and try to figure out the problem with Iran and all of our neighbors around and all of the different issues facing the Jewish people, yes, it would be impossible. Geula is an unrealistic possibility. But when you think from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, the answer is Pis'om yavo ha'adon al heichalo. The Ribono Shel Olam does not need time. And that is why we can say in earnest, Achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. It's not a problem for us to believe that Mashiach can actually come at any moment. Because the Ribono Shel Olam can actually make it happen. And the Chafetz Chaim goes into a pictorial history of the Jewish people. How at every moment, when they thought they hit rock bottom, when they thought nothing can possibly get worse, suddenly everything changed. Look at the story of Avraham Avinu. How many years is he married without children? Not only is he married without children, it says Sarah didn't have a rechem. Sarah didn't have a uterus. She couldn't have children. And yet somehow everything changed from one moment to the next. And he goes through all of history. Look at Yitzchak Avinu. There he is on the Akedah, about to lose his life. And from there is born the Jewish people. Yaakov Avinu, look what he goes through. Lavan, the whole story of everything we experience. And from there are the Yud Beis Shiftei Ka, Yosef HaTzadik. There he is in the depths of the depths in jail. Nobody remembers him, nobody's thinking about him, nobody's advocating for him. And from there comes the Yeshua, from there comes the Geula, says the Chafetz Chaim. This is how it works in every generation. And it's the way it's going to work with us as well. We look forward to it. We daven for it. It's something we yearn for. To have that opportunity to once again be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to always remember, to live with an attitude of Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael, to live with an attitude believing that I am not going to have an integral role in the coming of Mashiach, is an unacceptable attitude for any Jew to ever have. Because it's something that we are able to actively be involved and engaged in. And Amir Tzashem, Yehi Ratzon. שיבנה בית המקדש במהרה בימינו, ושן חלקנו בשרשך, ושם נעבדך ביראה כימי עולם ושנים קדמוניות. Good night, everybody.